This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate. The Nobel Prize this morning goes to a trio who use economics to fight poverty. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Three economists likely to bump into each other in the Boston area have won a Nobel Prize today. Abhijit Banerjee and Esther Duflo, both at MIT, created a Poverty Action Lab, and Michael Kremer at Harvard. All are innovators in a very high calling, devising strategies that raise standards of living. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell just live streamed the announcement. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
So this is about crucial, life-saving practical stuff.
These economists do field experiments, and they're attacking the biggest issue that we face, or one of the biggest issues that we face, which is global poverty. And the essence of their research is they try and break down these big questions about global poverty into smaller chunks with healthcare or education. And then they do field experiments, and then they come back with an analysis that says, you know, this policy will work. It's worth the investment. This one won't.
And over the years, you've had occasion to talk to one of today's laureates, Professor Kremer at Harvard.
Yes, he's incredibly generous with his time. And he did this study called Odious Debts. And it's about these dictators in many emerging markets who will borrow huge sums of money. And that money mostly ends up in their bank accounts somewhere around the world. And then they're deposed or they move on. And the people who didn't borrow the money, they have to pay it back. And so he came up with a very practical mechanism for how do you forgive this debt and how do you decide that this was illegitimate debt, this debt should not have been taken on, and then you can free up the economy and free up the people to continue to grow.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell on today's, we like to say, Nobel Prize in Economics winners, but actually the Sveriges Riksbank Prize in Economic Sciences, if you want to be precise. Chris, thank you.
Thank you very much, David.
Related, but often using less targeted tools, we have the fall meeting starting now of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. Here's Marketplace's Ben Bradford.
The U.S.'s trade war with China and its tensions with other countries have the global economy looking fragile. Former IMF economist Ishwar Prasad.
There is a sense that unless these financial leaders can figure out how to tamp down trade tensions, the world economy might well tip into recession.
The IMF and World Bank don't set trade policy, but Cornell economist Akbar Noman says they can help push trade discussions along behind the scenes.
The public discussions may be very muted or much less confrontational than the private discussions would be.
Public sessions will discuss everything from the threat of rising debt to the carbon capture potential of whales. University of Virginia public policy professor Lucy Bassett says they're influential.
They kind of signal important topics or themes and highlight new developments,
including a new IMF report that proposes a global tax on greenhouse gas emissions. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
Let us do the numbers here. Dow and S&P futures are down 0.6%. with news that President Trump and his team were ebullient about the first phase of a trade deal with China on Friday. But the reaction in China now is, I would say, more cautious, with Chinese officials saying China wants more talks before China's president is ready to sign. The China Daily put it this way today, quote, the champagne should probably be kept on ice. The U.S. bond market is closed for Columbus Day. The FTSE in London is down 0.7%, with the terms of the U.K. leaving the EU still unclear. Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
There are about 2,000 students from the Bahamas going to college in the U.S. They're especially in Florida. The aftermath of Hurricane Dorian weighs heavily on these students, worried about family and friends back home and concerned about whether they'll be able to afford to stay in school. Here's WLRN's Nadej Green.
After Hurricane Dorian ravaged parts of the Bahamas, students at Florida Memorial University joined together for a prayer service.
I pray for everyone whose mother or father is still on the in the islands.
Bria Roll is a senior. She sat in the front pew with her head bowed. Roll is from Grand Bahama, one of the areas hardest hit by Hurricane Dorian.
We really have nothing to go back to. My family members sent in pictures. Everything is destroyed.
Roll is president of a student group called Bahamian Connection. And she says she and many of her classmates are trying to figure out if they'll be able to continue to afford paying for school. Yearly tuition at the private historically black university is about $12,500. That doesn't include housing and other fees.
When it comes to school, where's the funds going to come from?
Some families, like Rolls, lost everything, and others now have to help family members who lost everything. Khalil Dean is a freshman. His family in Nassau took in his aunts and uncles from northern Bahamas who were left homeless because of Dorian.
We don't know how we're going to be able to help them in this situation.
Florida Memorial School officials are putting together a list of Bahamian students to figure out how many will need financial help. Adrian Cooper is the university's provost.
Some of them have not only lost their own homes, but their parents have lost their place of work. And so they have some concerns about what can happen in terms of, you know, their finances.
And because these are international students, they're here on visas that restrict their ability to work in the U.S., Cooper says she's looking to the school's donors to help Bahamian students.
To help sponsor scholarships. Some of them are in their last year, in their last semester, and so we would hate for that to be a barrier for them to be able to graduate.
The Institute of International Education in New York is also providing financial help to Bahamian students enrolled in U.S. colleges and universities. The nonprofit set up an emergency fund to give one-time grants of up to $5,000. In Miami, I'm Nadej Green for Marketplace.
And we led with the three who won the Nobel Prize in Economics this morning for their anti-poverty work using more precision tools. Well, two of those three winners today are married, Esther Duflo and Abhijit Banerjee. Nobelists Marie Curie and Pierre Curie were also married. Theirs was physics, 1903. This is from APM, American Public Media.